Today, as you know, is a very, very special day. Not only is tomorrow Pastor Al's birthday, but of course we're celebrating his last day here as senior co-pastor of the chapel, as well as 40 years in ministry. You can see our 40 years up here under this screen over here, and 40 years is very significant. Dr. Andrews, who founded the chapel, was here for about 40 years. Pastor Al has been in ministry today, 40 years exactly to his ordination, and in 4 years, I'll be 40. Amazing, isn't it? Shocking. So it really is a special day, and we thank God that you're here. You are in for a treat and a celebration. And what we're talking about above all things on this day is we're talking about the faithfulness of God. And it really all starts with God. And we will be celebrating a couple, Al and Janie Cockrell, today because we want to give respect where respect is due and honor where honor is due. At the same time, what you'll hear, the theme of what goes on will be the faithfulness of our great God. So I'd like to begin our time together as we open with prayer. And if you'd like to join me, I'd ask you to do that. And we'll take a moment and pray together as we begin. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be able to express your greatness. Because God, you are good. You're faithful. You're holy. You're worthy. You are incomparable. And God, we thank you for all of that. And you have demonstrated that faithfulness. And you've demonstrated your grace and your goodness to your servants, Pastor Al and Janie Cockrell. And God, today we want to celebrate with them the joy of what it means to be obedient to you and be faithful to you over the long haul, and we as a church having the opportunity to express our love to them today. So I pray in all that we do today, we'd be careful to give you the glory. God, I pray that you would be honored as we honor your servants, and that God, you would minister to each person in here, that you would show us as a church some important things about your heart and about what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus through the course of this worship gathering. And we'll trust you with all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can't remember a trial or a pain. Exactly 40 years ago, Pastor Al, with Janie by his side, began his life of ministry. We are celebrating that milestone today. The last 7 of those years have been with us here at the chapel. Along the way, there have been incredible blessings and victories, as well as seasons of disappointment. Through it all, God's unwavering faithfulness has been an anchor, a rock, a certainty. Today we will be traveling back through those 40 years, getting a glimpse of the extraordinary things God can do through 2 ordinary people who simply say yes. When we look at Pastor Al and Janie, we see them as they are today, polished and sophisticated, full of wisdom that has been developed through years of life experience. But all this did not happen overnight, and they did not start out that way. Al and Janie grew up in small towns in the northeast corner of Oklahoma. Although their communities were not considered to be fertile ground to prepare 2 people for a life of ministry, God knew what they did not. All that was needed was their availability and their willingness to say yes to the Lord's assignment and to follow His leadership. That happened in 1966, 5 years and 1 son into their marriage. It was at this point that Al and Janie made a radical 180-degree turn from living for themselves to totally living for God. Pastor Al has often expressed that at times it seems the hand of God moves slowly. But back in 1966, God's hand moved them at hurricane speed. Listen as we hear from some friends that God placed in their lives at that time and are still a part of their life today.
I've known Al and Janie for many, many, many years, a little over 40, and we remember very well when we were starting Open Door Church, had a storefront on State Avenue, and Al came by and saw the cars parked, and came in just nosing, and got rededicated his life, and he brought Janie that night, and she got saved.
But we do love him, and we're proud of him.
On September 3rd, 1966, Al Cockrell was ordained into the pastorate. The man God used to preach his ordination charge was evangelist Lester Roloff. Here's just a portion of that message that was preached at the Open Door Baptist Church in Kansas City exactly 40 years ago.
Feel no sense of worthiness that would bring me to the time to bring this ordination message. Brother Al, I'd like for you to get a chair and sit over here where I can see you. I trust your very likeness will inspire me somewhat, but I'm depending on the Lord mostly.
Amen.
And I want to make sure that you're still here, and I'm going to keep an eye on you while I'm preaching.
Ida Cabot was Lester Roloff's assistant for many years. Here are some thoughts she had after meeting and getting to know this young couple who were about to embark on a faith walk, not knowing where God would lead them.
I've just really admired them, what the Lord's used them to do and accomplish, and the Lord's blessed them, and it's just been a privilege to watch their lives, and I'm so thankful for the Lord bringing them into my life as friends. And later on, in later years, I heard Brother Love say this to a group of people. He said, in all my years of helping churches and helping preachers and loaning them money to help them continue, I never heard back from most of them. Brother Al is the first one that has taken the responsibility to see that the church paid him back.
Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
After going to Bible school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Al, Janie, and Breck moved back to Kansas City to plant a new church. In June of 1970, Bethel Baptist Church was started with just 22 people. God used Pastor Al's brother, Bob Cockrell, who was also a pastor, to speak at their first vacation Bible school. God used Pastor Bob as a stimulus. Dozens of children accepted the Lord, and soon afterward, Pastor Al was able to lead the parents of those same children into a relationship with Christ. Here is Bob Cockrell recalling that experience and commenting on his younger brother's ministry these past 40 years.
I'm really amazed at what God has been able to do through you. Amazed but not surprised. Psalms 81:10. Where God said, open thy mouth wide, and I shall fill it. And spiritually speaking, you opened your mouth wide, and God has certainly filled it.
The church quickly outgrew the original building and moved to a new campus with a new name, Tri-City Baptist Church. One of the new believers that Pastor Al led to Jesus was a manager at JCPenney. His name is Matt Williams. Matt became the first full-time staff member of the Tri-City team.
Hello, my name is Matt Williams, and I'm Vice President for Ministry Affairs at Northland Baptist Bible College in Dunbar, Wisconsin. I'm here to congratulate Pastor Al and Janie Cockrell for 40 years of ministry. That's a long time. Congratulations, Pastor Al and Janie, for 40 years of ministry and investment in the lives of many people around the country.
Pastor Al and Janie had two more sons, Jonathan and Thad, during this season of life. They spent 12 years at Tri-City. During this time, the church grew from just a few dozen people in one building to needing four different campuses throughout the Kansas City area. They also started a Christian school that grew to over 1,200 students, along with founding a Bible Institute to train pastors. Here are a few friends and family members who were impacted for Christ during this time by Pastor Al and Janie.
I had only been in full-time Christian service about 2 years in Christian education when I started to work for Pastor Al at Tri-City in Kansas City, Missouri. And those were some of the most exciting years of my life. First of all, I had heard about working for people who were visionaries and pioneers, but I didn't exactly understand that concept until I went to work for Pastor Al. Through the years, he has been so excited just about what God is doing, what God wants to do and accomplish through us.
You had a real impact upon my life. Your generosity through the years and your spiritual growth has really made an impact upon my life. Thank you very much.
Greetings and blessings from your Aunt Mary from Kansas City, Missouri. So I don't know in their retirement what the future may hold for Janie now, but I hope the best, and I hope God goes with them, and they definitely have our love and prayers. God bless you.
Thank you.
In 1982, God called the Cockrell family to Tampa, Florida, to serve at Temple Heights Baptist Church. As the senior pastor there, just as in Kansas City, Pastor Al and Janie impacted many lives. Pastor Al has always had a passion for world missions, and that passion has taken him around the world to help advance the kingdom of Christ.
He is well.
One of the defining marks of Pastor Al's life has been his commitment to his family. His three sons have grown up and moved out, but their dad's impact still resonates in their hearts and minds.
Hey, Dad, just thinking through what a lifetime of things that you've poured into us. One of the things that that I think stands clear in my mind, and probably for both John and Thad, is the value of the integrity that you lived out in your life. I know that was something that you talked about, Grandpa Cockrell, pouring into your life. And Dad, you've poured that into our lives. You've lived a life of integrity, and I thank you for that. And now as a father, that's the thing I want to pour and invest and deposit into my kids. So thank you for investing, depositing that in our DNA, the integrity of living a life that honors God. And hopefully we can keep passing that on down.
Well, Dad, I just want to thank you for the faithfulness of a pastor. I know that I was saved through your ministry, and I believe all three of us were saved as a result just underneath your preaching and what that did for us. Also, just the faithfulness of a Christian brother, an example you've set for us, and the living out a life that has authentic faith in it. And then also just the faithfulness of a father. I can recall back my eighth grade year that I was going through a challenging time, and I'm sure that you were frustrated with life and the decisions I was making, but you made it a point to stop what you're doing. We went for a walk on that afternoon, and you just began to share your heart with me. And you told me that you'd be willing to put aside the ministry, whatever you needed to put aside, to be able to focus on my needs and help me. And that meant so much to me, because that was a changing point in my life, really understanding that my dad's here for me, that loves me, and is willing to do whatever it takes to see me succeed and to set me up for life. And I use that so many different times in counseling to encourage other parents to do the same. And so your faithfulness just really took a different role for me at that time. And I thank you for it. And as Breck had mentioned, just the faithfulness you said for me to be to my own family, to my own children, for my wife. And so I thank you so much for the faithfulness, the legacy you set aside, and the faith that you initiated through salvation is now something that you'll always be known for. And it's a life of faith. So we thank you for that.
Hey, Dad, I love you. I'm just so thankful to God for who you are and in your testimony. And I just think how honored and blessed I am not to just have the investments you've made in my life financially and as a parent, but also that at any moment I feel like I can call up probably the most respected person in my life at any moment and have that friend on the other end of the line. And I think having a dad like you, there's all kinds of blessings that I know about, but probably there's more blessings that I will even never know about. That just comes with having someone like you in my life. And I know for Jonathan and Breck and I, what we saw behind the pulpit and what people saw behind the pulpit is exactly what we saw at the house. And I thank you so much for that. When I graduated from college, you wrote in my Bible, you said, don't just read it, live it. And don't just preach it, prove it. And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that you did that and allows me to be able to do the same.
Hey, Mom and Papa, we love you.
To have
In May of 1997, Pastor Al and Janie completed their ministry assignment in Tampa and moved to Atlanta, Georgia, to then use his God-gifted leadership ability across the country as he worked with John Maxwell's organization, Enjoy. In 1999, the chapel's founding pastor, Dr. James Andrews, became ill. Through Pastor Andrews' friend, Marty Benton, the chapel was introduced to Pastor Al. It was Pastor Al who came with his heart of care to conduct an anointing service for Pastor Andrews. Thereafter, a sweet oneness and trust was built between Pastor Andrews and Pastor Al, so that Pastor Al continued to come to Buffalo ready to preach each Sunday. Pastor Andrews was called home to heaven in December of 1999. During this incredible time of grieving, through God's leading and preparation, Pastor Al spent more time in Buffalo to preach, to guide, and to assist healing in this time of transition. As we all know, we loved Pastor Al, and we felt his growing love for the chapel. Amidst the work and guidance of a pastoral search committee, alongside the Board of Deacons, the Lord made it more clear each day that Pastor Al was sent by God for such a time as this. He defined his assignment as short-term and temporary, but the Lord had a more permanent plan as the announcement of his call to be our senior pastor was made on March 5th of 2000. Pastor Al continued to seek God's appointed and anointed man for the future, and God gave us Pastor Jerry Gillis in August of 2002. God has blessed the chapel with amazing testimonies and has worked miracles in the hearts and minds of men, women, boys, and girls. Eternity has been impacted for the cause of Jesus Christ during these past 7 years. Listen to just a few of the lives touched by the love and the ministry of Pastor Al and Janie.
May it be true of us from this day forward that nothing rings more eloquent, nothing rings more significant than the preaching of the cross.
We just want to thank you both, Pastor Al and Janie, for your influence and being a part of our lives. We love you both.
And the chapel has grown so much because of your presence here. Thank you.
We wish you all the best and all the luck in your future. And again, we just want to say how much we love you.
And we just love you for changing our lives, for changing the direction of this church, for giving of your lives, for transitioning yourselves out of something that you were comfortable with and coming to something that you had no idea where it was going.
I'm just so thankful for your courage and your bravery to be a man of God and to follow his will for you. So T and I just appreciate that.
Pastor, you've made a huge impact on all of us, on our family personally, on most importantly, the work of the Lord in Western New York.
Pastor Jerry is still maturing, so he's on hot chocolate. We don't want to stunt his growth.
Yes.
But you're going to have to drink pretend coffee. And pretty good. We Buffalonians, we handle pretend pretty good, don't we? Because when people talk about the bad weather, we pretend that it's really not as bad as they think it is.
Thank you for fulfilling this purpose in your life and fulfilling it with such excellence.
Pastor Al and Janie, you have feathered the nest of this place with the Word of God, with the fruit of your lives.
Thank you, Pastor Al, for teaching us that leadership is influence and that every one of us is a leader.
We ask God His blessing for you, whatever He leads you.
Came into the chapel and accepted Christ from one of your messages, Pastor Allen. Our lives have never been the same.
We wish you the best in the future. We know that God is not finished with you yet.
Thank you for harvesting this soul. It's your fault. I love Jesus. It's your fault.
Thank you so much for
listening to God's call and coming here and walking with Him in your life.
If Gillis can do it, Cockrell can do it.
I have certain magical powers.
We want to thank you so much for all that you've done to bring this church closer to God.
Everything you've done here, your heart for God, your humility, it's been a pleasure to serve you.
I'm so glad for the versatility and the opportunity just to minister with them and see how God has led them over the years.
God is good. You have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. And you are God's gracious servant and leader, and we just praise Him for you.
May God bless you both on this new chapter of your ministry. I know He has great things in store, and the best is yet to come.
But you are two special people who have entered not only our lives, but our hearts, and we will never be the same again.
We are now registered in Ripley's, believe it or not, as the largest coffee shop in the world.
I think we're just playing up here. This is actually real.
Real stuff.
It's real stuff, and I'm drinking hot chocolate because, I don't know, maybe it's coffee. Maybe I've matured this week.
Possibly.
Mister, I'm so immature for drinking hot coffee, hot cocoa, or whatever.
If you have, I haven't noticed.
I want you to come and put a hand on them, and we're going to take a moment and just thank God for them. Feel free to make your way. We're going to come and thank God for them. Anyone who wants to come, feel free to come. Put a hand on them, and if you can't reach them, put a hand on somebody that's got a hand on them. You showed your goodness to this place by raising up a servant, getting his attention, speaking into his life, and calling Pastor Al and Janie to this place. But God, thank you that it is heart's desire is to see people grow in the likeness of Christ, and that God, you've done that in so many lives through His ministry. Lord, on a personal note, it's been a privilege for me to walk 4 years with this man. Pastor Al and Janie are doing what they're doing. It is because of you, God.
And why shouldn't we glory in the cross? Heaven's most precious treasure was hung there. Earth's greatest victory was won there. Man's greatest enemy was defeated there. The windows of hope were raised there. The door of deliverance was opened there. Oceans of grace were exposed there. The greatest kindness was shown there. Rivers of mercy were released there. Fountains of cleansing burst forth there. Mountains of opportunity began there. Our strength was renewed there. The greatest of friendships was initiated there. The apex of forgiveness was reached there. All of God's benefits were distributed there. Man's peace with God was established there. The foundation stone of joy was laid there. And all my iniquities were nailed there. My redemption was purchased there. The love of God was expressed there. The robe of righteousness was woven there. And the search for life's meaning ends there. The cross was the golden daybreak of eternal salvation, and nothing, nothing even comes close to it.
That was a message from the day we moved into this place. That was the first message, his half of our message when we moved into this place. And it goes down as one of my all-time favorite Al Cockrell classics. And I'll tell you the other one, last week. Last week was a monster for me. Just in case you're wondering. So it was a great one. This time, obviously, we've had a chance to walk down the corridors of time and express some things emotionally. And this is the second time that we're through it. So if we look a little bit worn out, if we look a little bit, it's because we are. I've had a headache since about the first second of the first service, bawling like a little, bawling like me. I guess would be how I would phrase that. So at this time, I want to give you an opportunity to welcome to the platform Pastor Al and Miss Janie.
Right. I'll give you another chance to do that, so you don't clap yourself out. I want to ask if Dick DeWitt would make his way here to the platform, and we have some special opportunities and some special well wishes that he is going to share with Pastor Al and Miss Janie.
Thanks, Pastor Jerry. Thank you very much. Pastor Al and Janie, faithful and selfless. You know, we joined as a congregation to honor and revere faithfulness and selflessness, something that we don't read about in the daily paper. And yet we saw it lived out here daily as we came to this place. We are so grateful that God called you to preach His Word to us. I remember early on when you said that we were here on assignment. And you were on assignment to pour yourself out for us, to absolutely fill us up with God's Word in a special way. You did that for me, and you did that for countless others in this congregation, and you did that for this community. You know, we learn about selflessness in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16, how David, he was tired, he was thirsty, he asked for water, cried out for water, and he brought it, and he poured it out for the Lord, just as you poured yourself out for the Lord. And we felt that. We felt that nourishment of God. And because of that, we experienced the presence of God, the glory of God, through you being used mightily of Him. And so I join this congregation, I join this community, and I join really this country in how you have impacted up and down the East Coast. You know, all of the rain were the tears of joy and satisfaction of having you here and all the lives that you've touched this time. So we have been the recipient of many, many proclamations and letters, all of which we wouldn't have time to read today. But Senator Clinton, Senator Schumer, Senator Maziarz, local politicians have all written to thank you for your presence and what you've done here for the community, for the state, for the people, and for their heart. I'm happy to say that Joel Giambra has written in, and he's sent a special proclamation for this day, and he's made this day, September the 3rd, Pastor Al Cockrell Day in all of Erie County. Pastor Al, we also received a letter from Governor Pataki, and he spoke about the impact that you've had in this state to speak out and reach out to others in that same selfless giving, and you've poured yourself into that. And we even went a little bit higher than Governor Pataki. So I'd like to read this proclamation, this letter, dated August 28th to the Reverend Al Cockrell, East Amherst, New York. Dear Dr. Cockrell, congratulations on your 40 years in the ministry. This milestone is a tribute to your many years of dedication and service. Our nation has always benefited from a strong spiritual foundation. The celebration of faith continues to be central in the lives of Americans, offering strength, hope, and guidance to people across our country. By sharing God's teachings, you have helped to enrich lives and have served as an inspiration to your church and to your community. I commend your work to share the message of God's love and boundless mercy with others. Laura and I send our best wishes on this special occasion. Sincerely, George W. Bush. God bless you. I love you. I love you.
I hope you understand that I don't even pretend to be worthy of your expression of love, your kindness, and the prayer I prayed this morning. In fact, Jane and I, as we were praying last night, it was important for me to know that today would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That's what Pastor Jerry and I try to do every Sunday we come here. We know it's not about us. We're instruments that God has chosen to speak through, and we didn't even make the choice to be here. God made that choice for us. And I know at some point we had to say, okay, we'll do it. But God has a way to press you into a direction that He wants to accomplish something for His glory, and I count it a great honor. So it's a great privilege to have my brother here today and my sister, Eva, the one you saw on the screen. He told a little story that it didn't get on the screen. I'm glad it didn't. When I was born, it was out in the country, and he was 5 years old. And what they did whenever it was time for me to be born is they sent him down to my cousin's house about a mile away. 5 years old, you got to understand. He didn't even know his mama was expecting. Cockerels are a little slow in our learning. And so they just sent him away. A few hours later, he came back, and he said, "There you were, Alan." He said, "I didn't know what happened. I just went away, and you came back." He said, "I knew one thing. After getting to know you a little while, I never went away again. I was afraid to." It's great to have Dr. Wendell Kempton and Ruth Kempton here. Dr. Kempton, God bless you. You have influenced my life for missions like no other person. Thank you. EC, great to have friends here. And I want Janie to just say a word because this has been my partner now for 45 years. And whatever God has done, amen.
When Dick talked about assignment, you know, God has assignment for our life. And on that assignment, it's a path that we don't know. We step out in faith. And along this path of faith that we walk, He brings trials and troubles. He brings heartache. He brings joy. He brings great, wonderful satisfaction through people's lives and through our own children's lives. And when you're married to a man of vision and dream, and that he has this burning desire to love God and fulfill the mission God has for him, not even knowing what that is, in our young days, you have to realize when Al was ordained, when he's shown up there, he's 28, and I'm 25, and I don't even know the books of the Bible. I'm that young in the Lord. So some of you feel like you have to know so much. I don't know the books of the Bible. I know very little about the Bible. But all I knew is that God called my husband, and He put a call on my life to serve Him, not knowing what we would do. But all along the way, I think that God has prepared us for the next phase and the next assignment of life. And as we have, and all the different dreams that Al's had in our young days, when he would tell me all these great things he wanted to do, I would look at him and think, I would say sometimes, "You got to be kidding. That's stupid." But then I learned, to keep my mouth quiet and then just say, "My, that's interesting." And then God took the reality of some of those dreams and fulfilled them, and others that went by the wayside. And when I was in high school, I was a cheerleader. And so God, that was the preparation that God used in my life to be a cheerleader for my husband and a cheerleader for Jesus. And since Pastor Jerry has come on, to be a cheerleader for him, because we're so grateful and thankful for he and Edie, and to be able to carry this on in such a great, fabulous way. But, you know, we don't know these people right here, like the state and local and national people, and whatever kind of a trophy that is. But it's the spiritual trophies that we have in life. Our physical trophies. Our physical trophies are our three sons. And Breck, thank you so much for all that you did to make today happen. for our Jonathan. Because of our Jonathan, he brought our Tita in our life, our wonderful daughter and our Thad. He told me, he said, I'm going to give you lots of experiences for parenting, and he has, and we love him. So we have three wonderful sons, two daughters in love, and eight wonderful grandchildren, and all the spiritual trophies, the spiritual children that God has brought into our pathway, all along the assignment that he has. And Al and I would say, little do we ever know that the assignment that God gave us here in Western New York at the chapel would be the assignment of a lifetime. Yes. It's been an easy assignment. It's been the best assignment we could ever have dreamed for and asked for because of all of you and your love and your support. We graciously thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Janie. Yeah, thank you. I can't pass it. Did you said eight grandchildren. Do you know two I don't know about somewhere along the trail? Okay, anyway, we have six grandchildren. You never know. Okay, amen. You know, today, I said this to you last week, but I want to say it again. This is the greatest assignment that I've had on this earth. Nothing is compared to it, and it's because of you. And Janie and I love you. And we want to do something right now that is, I think, so important and I'm so excited about. I was reading in Philippians, Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he was going to leave them. He was not going to be able to remain there and spend a lot of time with them. And so he sent them a young man by the name of Timothy, a man that he personally had mentored. And I don't consider myself to have personally have mentored Pastor Jerry. He was a grown-up preacher when he got here, and God had used him and effectively. And we just kind of partnered for a while here. But Paul said something about Timothy that I would certainly want to say about Pastor Jerry. Paul said to the church, he said, I don't have anybody else with the same level of sincerity, he called it, to care for your souls. And so I'm going to leave you, Timothy. He's going to be your pastor. He's going to be your leader. He's going to provide you direction from the Word of God. And so, Pastor Jerry, it's a great honor to pass this baton. A few months ago, and several months ago now, when I knew this would be the date we'd do it, I envisioned a baton, a rolled-up piece of paper where a runner would run and pass the baton in a race. And I thought that would be kind of a neat picture, though I've used that term a number of times. You know that since in the last few months, I'm passing the baton. And then later I got the idea, I thought, you know what would really be neat is if I could pass a baton that had all the names of the people that we presently minister to, whether it be children's ministry, our youth ministry, our the vintage ministry, that's our college and career, and our senior, all of it put together. And my goodness, what happened is I no longer had a baton, but I had a scroll. I want you to look at...
Can we open that?
Thank you. No, it'll fall apart if we do. This is a scroll, and it contains your names, every one of you, all the way from the nursery. Pastor Jerry, there are 2,000 children's names here.
Wow.
2,000 children. That as I pass this baton, I am sensing and recognizing that I'm giving you a responsibility that that is a great responsibility, and without God, you couldn't possibly accomplish it any more than I could in my ministry of the past. But here was the amazing thing to me when my secretary came back and she said, "You won't believe this," but she said, that baton you wanted, it has now become a scroll, and you certainly can't run with it if you're thinking about passing that baton. She said, but here's the deal. She said, it contains the names of 10,000 people. So Pastor Jerry, I'm passing this no longer baton, but this scroll that represents every person in this congregation, people I love, people I respect, and people that God is using. And I have great confidence that God will use you in the future to take them yet to another level. And I'm excited about the dreams that are in your mind and heart. And the great part about dreaming is not all of them necessarily will come true, but enough of them will come true to keep your wife silent. You know? I'm only joking, of course. But I want to present this to you. This is the chapel presented to you from this day forward, resting upon your shoulders and existing in your heart are the lives of these people. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I have no other man that I would rather pass this baton to than this gentleman right here, because he's the man that God has called to take this place into places that you've only dreamed about. There are some exciting days ahead. May God bless you and thank you for this day. It's been a thrilling ride. It's been a great experience. These last 7 years have been unbelievable, and we thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
So I want to share something very briefly, kind of wrapping up here. And as I was reading in 2 Kings, I was reading about Elijah and Elisha, two prophets of old. And not to equate Pastor Al and I with prophets, we are not, as is evidenced in his ability to call Oklahoma wins in football. And my failure to do so with Georgia Bulldogs as well. Listen, Elijah and Elisha connected because Elijah, who preceded Elisha, found Elisha minding his own business. You read about it in 1 Kings, the latter part of chapter 19. And Elisha was just minding his own business. And Elijah came up and put his cloak on him and kind of passed the mantle to him to do the work of God. And Elisha was just going about his regular business. And so this happens to him, and then he starts following around Elijah, and now it's time for Elijah to conclude his ministry. And as you remember, Elijah was carted away on a chariot of fire to heaven, having never died. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha, and they asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? He said, yes, I know, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and they asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? And he said, yeah, I know. Shut up. It's a new translation. Really weird. He said, yes, I know. Don't speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Then catch this sentence. So the two of them walked on. Amen. That's how I feel today. I feel like today, without comparing myself to anybody, that the relationship is going to continue to walk on. The roles and the functions change, but the relationship doesn't. Elisha went on to say to Elijah, I'm going to stick around. You can't beat me off with a stick. Elijah said, if you stick around, you'll receive a double portion of my spirit. So what I've tried to do over this past 4 years is to learn all that I can learn. Don't let Pastor Al fool you in his humility. I have certainly been mentored in this time frame. Others have mentored me through my ministry as well, but Pastor Al is certainly one of those. And though I don't feel quite the boldness to pray for a double portion of this great spirit, I do pray that God would allow me to be half the man that he's been to me. Kind of what I hope that God would do is that he would allow in my heart to be able to take from all that I've learned and continue to learn from him and to put that into play, coupled with all that God has made me. And then I can just be who I am under God, pastoring this church as a fellow journeyer in the faith, who's a lot more concerned with knowing how to follow Jesus than I am with leading other people. And that if I can learn to follow well, that Jesus will take care of the leadership of his church. So I thank God for the privilege that Edie and I have had to be mentored by this couple and to be impacted by them and to have walked for the last 4 years alongside of them. Really is one of life's honors for me. And you're one of my heroes. And I'm thankful that I still got you in my pocket if I ever need you. And if anybody gives me any trouble, I'll just tell them I'm telling Pastor Al. So know that you're loved. And what I thank God for is that this relationship is going to continue and your connection and vitality in this ministry is going to continue. And we're going to partner together for a faith-filled future so that as Jesus Christ makes the call to us to mount up and ride with him, there's only one response that we've got. Our yes is on the table. So you can take your seat. We're going to close with this song, and then I will come up after this song and share with you a couple of closing thoughts that I want you to consider, and then we'll be dismissed in just a few moments. So let's remember to ride on with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Love. endless harmony all across this land. Yeah, just calling out, you and me. Will you ride with me? Will you ride with me? And when we say yes, Lord, oh, we will ride. And we say yes, Lord, gonna stand up and fight. One more time, dear Jesus, yeah.